Welcome to episode 145 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. This week, we'll do a little bit of Mae Young Classic talk. We'll chat about those promos on Raw, and who knows what else we're going to fit into this show. But I'm not on my own again. He's back for the second week running. He's the little leprechaun of Lincoln, although he's not at all Irish. It's Kai.
Hello, hello. It's good, good. Two, beep, back.
Bitch. Ooh, you bitch.
It sounds good to hear you once this week.
A lot of people like to hear me twice, but not in succession.
Oh God! It's because you'd be—you know—we'd all been away, and you wanted to get as much of you on the show as possible. So you just decided to repeat everything.
Do you know what? If it was only that, if that was the only reason.
For people who don't know, the show last week, we recorded it without realizing the technical issue throughout, yep. And we decided to put it out anyway.
Yeah.
But we apologise for that.
Shit happens. How's your week been?
It's been busy. I've had a lot of stuff on. I've been back at Siren and my first show back here. I've got my graduation next week, so that's all fun and games to come. So yeah, it's been a very, very busy week. I'm just hoping that my possible work get back to me today so that I can...
Impossible work.
So that I can start work. I want to work. So give me a job.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be a gypsy again.
Not back to those days. I was falling out of the caravan too much.
I won't play the clip, it's fine.
Yes, please don't.
Did you mean? Anyway, let's just get on with the show. No emails again this week. If you want to email us, please do eurouppercut@gmail.com. You can tweet us at the EU pod. As always, we'd love to hear from you. But let's just get on with a bit of this.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to the Nutso Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. After undergoing an MRI, WWE has announced that Big Cass will need surgery for the left knee injury that he suffered during the Brooklyn Street fight with Enzo Amore on Raw. WWE ringside physician Dr. Chris Robinson said it looks like he has an ACL tear, possibly a medial meniscus tear, but we're going to have to wait for the radiologist to evaluate the MRI and give us their full report. Cass will undergo surgery, and WWE noted he will have a long road back to the ring. A typical ACL tear takes about 9 months to recover from, Robinson said. In a related story, Enzo Amore made his 205 Live debut last week on the show from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The debut comes just one night after he defeated Big Cass in the Brooklyn Street fight on Raw due to Cass suffering an injury.
When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut!
Post-SummerSlam edition of Monday Night Raw drew 3.404 million viewers. This is up from the previous week's 3.23 million viewers. The show featured free agent John Cena returning to the Red Brand to team with Roman Reigns in a win over Samoa Joe and Intercontinental Champion Miz in the main event.
Are you high right now?
At last weekend's WWE 2K18 launch party, Kurt Angle was interviewed about his possible return to the ring. The current Raw general manager responded, "Well, you can talk to Vince McMahon about that. No, but I think it will happen. I'm guessing end of this year, early next year. It ultimately is up to Vince McMahon. He's going to make the decision." Regarding a possible opponent, he stated, "Well, you know you want to challenge yourself and get in the ring with Triple H, Brock Lesnar, or even John Cena. There's a lot of great young talent right now, Rusev, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman. Love that big guy. So there's a lot of great talent that I'd love to get my hands on." And celebrating birthdays this week, Ember Moon turns 29.
How you doing?
Mickey James is 38.
How you doing?
And Jeff Hardy is the big 4-0.
How you doing?
And that'll do it for this week's Not So Knockout News.
So happy birthday to all the birthdays this week, including the 40th for old Jeff Hardy. Hi, a few stories there. Quick to run through a couple of things. Obviously, I'm going to start with the big Cass injury from Raw last week, and it's going to put him out for a while. Good timing, eh?
Yeah, it's not great. I'm not going to lie. It's because he was really being led to being pushed to the moon, but it could be a blessing in disguise. It really could, because I think a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth as to... At first, they loved the Enzo and Cass breakup, so it was done really well, and I did too. Then it started to get a little bit... It started to drag a little bit, and I didn't... I don't know where they were going to take it next, but I've got a feeling that this could be the best thing that's happened to Cass. It's going to give him the chance to reintroduce himself in... Well, it'll be after WrestleMania, and, you know, the whole landscape of WWE will have changed by then, and that could be a good thing. Now, it's a shame that he's going to miss all this time, but it gives him chance to reinvent himself. It gives him chance to decide what he wants to be, not have the shitty generic music, not have the plain black T-shirt, do something more than just raise your arm up in the air. And if he takes these 12 months, if he takes these sort of 10 to 12 months to work out what it is that Big Cass is without Enzo Amore, then it's time well spent. And if he doesn't, then if he just sits on his ass and comes back in 10 to 12 months exactly the same, then that proves to himself and to the people in the back that maybe this isn't the guy that we should be pushing right now.
Yeah, and as long as he spends a bit of time thinking about who he is in terms of his character, maybe even doing some acting classes or even just general mic work over time, because that's the one thing that I think he could, you know, lift himself quite a lot with. But who's to say if he'll actually bother to do any of that?
This is the thing that I find fascinating about professional wrestling, because if you were, say you're an actor in a soap, say Ken Barlow got injured and couldn't be it, or even, you know, like an actress who has to go on maternity leave because her character isn't pregnant, so they send them off to look after their long-lost son in Canada for a few months. If that happens, you never expect the actual actor to go away and think about their character and develop their character. It's all about what the writers want. Whereas in professional wrestling, it's completely different. And that's what fascinates about this industry. You know, the fact that this performer, even though he's got writers around him, is expected by us and by people in the back to go away and think about what they want to do with their character.
But it's an industry where you have to think about shoring up where your flaws are, where your weaknesses are. And injury time is a perfect time to do that in terms of character work, in terms of mic work, and getting yourself over verbally. There's only so much you can do in terms of time in the gym. There's only so much you can do in terms of working on moves, obviously, if you're injured. But when it comes to the mic work, then that's something that you can spend a bit of time developing and improving on while you're injured.
Oh, completely.
And when it comes to, you know, a soap opera actor / actress, they've done all that already in college or, you know, wherever they did their training to be an actor. So going from there, naturally takes us into Enzo moving from the main roster down to 205 Live on Tuesday. First up, do you think this was someone who was already in the works, or do you think that it was a direct movement caused by Big Cass being injured?
I think that this was in the works. I think it's something that they've been considering for a while, and I don't have as big a problem with it as some people do. He was only in a 3-minute match on Raw, but people know that he's not at the standard as a lot of the cruiserweights are. Some of the cruiserweights are some of the best technical and high-flying wrestlers in the world. Enzo doesn't really fit into the high-flying or technical category, but he's got the personality behind him, which means that he can drive the brand like Neville has been doing. And I think that the Neville Enzo feud actually really works, because Neville, it just works because these two are the sort of faces of the division now. They're the two most popular characters. And yeah, you've got these amazing wrestlers, but these are the guys with the with the characters to back it up and lead the division.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to jump straight into Kurt Angle, who's saying that apparently there is a chance that he will wrestle for WWE. He's saying it could be the end of the year, early next year, but really ultimately it's up to Vince. Your thoughts on all that?
I think it's going to be Royal Rumble 2018.
Because he's saying, obviously, you know, as a talent, you want to wrestle the big names. You want to wrestle the Brock Lesnar's, the John Cena's, the Triple H's. And there's lots of great young talent out there. So, you know, he's almost saying that he sees himself being in a standard kind of one-on-one match. Not necessarily the Rumble itself, which is obviously the easy cop-out, which I hope they don't do. Who would you like to see him facing in a proper, genuine feud?
I'm really not sure, because the obvious answer to kick it off with would probably be a Triple H. You know, that's a revisiting of a long-term feud, and it's that big name leading into something like a WrestleMania.
There's so many possibilities, though, because I'm thinking about the matches that we've never seen, rather than the matches that, you know, that we could relive. So, you know, so many different variables there. You know.
I would love to, there is people that we've never seen, but the thing about Kurt Angle is that because we're forgetting that because he spent so long in TNA, longer than he did in WWE, he's wrestled a lot of independent talent, and the WWE, at least the guys that are rising through the ranks right now, there's a lot of independent talent there. So the likes former TNA talent. So the likes of Bobby Roode, the likes of
Samoa Joe,
AJ Styles, have all fought Kurt Angle for years. So
I think it would be a different dynamic watching AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle in a WWE ring as opposed to in a TNA ring.
Oh, totally.
As it was.
It would be a much larger scale match.
So I think there's certainly new twists on some of those matches when you think about it in that respect.
I've stood by this for years. I want to see Angle versus Cena. I've said it for years that I wanted Angle. I just want to see that moment of it rounding off sort of 16 years later. The fact
could happen.
Angle was his first ever. I think there's a great story in there. You know, Cena doing an open challenge and Kurt Angle taking that challenge because of ruthless aggression, or however you want to update it. But I just think that was such a great moment. And that's something that I remember from my childhood. And I've obviously watched... I was a John Cena kid. I was that era. So watching him develop, and then I saw the character that he was on Raw last night, which is, you know, even I don't want to see all the we're going to get into it properly in a minute, but I don't want to see all the breaking the fourth wall kind of stuff every week.
No,
but just the little bit of attitude and the I'm fucking John Cena kind of thing. I love that, and I think him and Angle would make a great feud once again.
One thing I did like about Angle during that whole segment with Reigns and Cena last night was the how intently he was watching it. You know, it wasn't like he was sitting staring about in the crowd looking a bit bored. He actually looked like he was really invested in what was going on with those promos at the time. So in terms of, you know, even though he was in the background, he was still very much into what was going on.
And he had a look of, I might need to get involved in a minute here. Yeah. I might recognize part, which is great because, like, yeah, it's great when, like, you know, I don't have a thing against Teddy Long or even John Laurinaitis, but neither of those guys look like they could pull apart those two if they got into a brawl. Whereas Kurt Angle could really, you know, hold his own.
Interesting. Anyway, I think we could sit and chat about that for hours, but we need to move on. We've got a lot to get into, so let's just swiftly move on with this show.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. And I've got a good feeling that this is a good time to chat about the Mae Young Classic. Now, Kai, I know you haven't seen very much. You've only seen the first episode, not even all of that. So I'll try not to give you any spoilers as such.
Yes,
but
I've seen about 45 minutes, which is more than I expected to be honest.
I'll just give a few kind of key points, kind of dive through what happened where necessary. So first of all, we opened with Kaylee Ray versus Princess Suhei. I still reckon it says Sugar Hit because that's what it reads as. Anyway, which is an interesting one because Kaylee Ray straight away out of the tournament. Never mind, what can you do?
Forward yeah, by I seeing thought she was going to get really far in it.
Oh, I didn't. I, for some reason, because she was later added, I had a feeling she was going to go one round, you know, go into the next round and then go out. But to go out first round, I was quite, disappointed. I was like, come back. But, you know, it is what it is. Serena Deeb, Vanessa Bourne, did you like seeing Serena Deeb back in ring?
Yes, I did. I used to like Serena. And I thought that it was ace that she, you know, I always like someone who will commit to their character enough to shave the head on national television. But, yeah, I'd always liked her, and obviously this is the redemption story. This is the Brian Kendrick story.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well. We don't have a Tajiri story in this tournament, but we've got a Brian Kendrick story. I thought Deeb looked pretty good, considering it's been a while since I've seen her, and they were saying she's been on a total career hiatus for about 2 years, so she seemed in pretty good form. Next up was Zayda versus Shayna Baszler. Now, Shayna Baszler, obviously well known for MMA work. How did you find her?
I thought it was ace. I was quite sold on this match. I don't know much about her, but you get the legitimate feel from it. And with a little bit more work, the sort of it sounds like the cop-out answer, but there's the possibility of building her into that female Brock Lesnar kind of vibe and character.
We sat in a very technical match, lots of submission maneuvers, but that's what you kind of expect in that match. And Zayda for a while held her own, but it just was so obvious that Shayna was taking it.
Yes, yeah, it was never going to be any other way. Mind you, I thought Kaylee Ray was going to get through that first round, but
what's that tell you?
But it wasn't going to be any other way with this one, and especially the four horsewomen in the crowd. I heard that the four horsewomen of WWE were in the crowd as well, but they weren't. But I'm guessing that's coming in a future episode.
Could be. I mean, I don't know how much they've recorded of it or even when we're getting the next one screen, but I've not looked that up.
I saw some kind of interaction between them on social media where fans have filmed them like arguing over the barriers to each other because they're on separate sides of the ramp.
Right.
I don't know whether that's going to air or not.
And last match in that one, Jazzy Gabbert, formerly known as Alpha Female, versus Abby Leif, the former ballerina, who shows a lot of interesting creativity and flexibility in her manoeuvres. You've not seen the result of that, so I won't spoil it for you. But Jazzy Gabbert, very, very imposing. But I'm going to jump from there to episode 2. We get Mercedes Martinez versus Xia Li. Not a long match, felt quite one-sided to me, but I'll at least find out how that goes for yourself if you've not already watched it. And then it takes us to Marty Bell versus Rachel Evers, the daughter of Paul Ellering. And to me, Marty Bell wasn't looking all that great. It was a bit disappointing, but there you go. Next up, Rhea Ripley and Miranda Salinas. Ripley was just huge. 6-footer, looks impressive, and Salinas was easily the weaker of the two in that, but does it go the way you think it might go? Sarah Logan versus Mia Yim. Now, great confidence from Mia Yim. Very well-known talent. And Sarah Logan kind of scares me a little bit. But again, Kai, I'm not going to spoil that for you. I don't know. Are there any as much as you're particularly looking forward to?
I've been looking forward to this whole tournament. I love stuff like this. I love to watch matches that have something on the line or some kind of progression to them. And a lot of these names I've heard of, never seen before. Some of them I have seen doing some independent stuff. And names like Mia Yim I've heard about for years. Because how long has she been wrestling for?
She's been around for a good while. She obviously had her spell in TNA as well. So
she was, yeah. I remember because I had, I used to play the Extreme Warfare Revenge pro wrestling game which is kind of like Football Manager for professional wrestling. I really do recommend it, and they're still doing updates for it now, so you can play as, like, in 2017. But I remember she was always one that they were suggesting on the game that you should sign. So they obviously thought that she was a top talent back in, like, 2010-12 when she was at Combat Zone Wrestling and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple of folk who went out in that round that I don't think we've seen the last of in terms of WWE, especially if they do go down the route of having an all-female show at some point. Jumping into episode 3, Ayesha Raymond versus Toni Storm. Quite an obvious winner on this one. I'm not going to say too much more. One really stands out. Dakota Kai, formerly known as Evie, versus Kavita Devi. And I managed to get references into the Great Khali in this match, with Kavita Devi being from India and having trained at Great Khali's facility. I don't know what that really does for her career going forward, but there you go. And, well, the match was... It was what it was. I don't think Dakota Kai was shown as well as she possibly could have. I'm obviously watching how I say this so that you don't get a spoiler in this, Kai.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sage Beckett next up versus Bianca Belair. I didn't have a lot of love for this match, I'll be honest. Bianca Belair's hair was the focus in the match. And what does that tell you about a match if somebody's hair seems to be the focus of it? I felt the winner was a bit predictable. Last up on that one, one of my matches of the tournament so far, Piper Niven versus Santana Garrett. And that's not me being biased. Kata has only seen the first two episodes, and he called that the match of the tournament so far. So all I'm going to say is I thought it was a really good match. Very interesting mix of styles between Santana and Piper Niven. Santana Garrett, some folk will know from her time in TNA. Piper Niven, she was Viper here in Scotland, but also she took part in the World Sport event last year on ITV. So you've seen her in action, Kai?
I have, yes. I remember her being on that special, and I remember watching it with my granddad and him turning around and saying something along the lines of, bloody hell, I wouldn't want to bump into her in a dark alley.
Finn Fish seems to have a little bit of a thing for Piper Niven.
Ah, yeah. Well.
So that says a lot. But no, I thought it was a really, really good match. Really glad that they put it as the last match on that episode. Something to look forward to there. And going into the last episode, we open with Renee Michelle versus Candice LeRae, another name you'll know very well, Kai. Both looked really good. And the winner, yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense when you see the match. Lacey Evans versus Tanara Conte. I'm not a big fan of either of these. Lacey Evans has done little NXT work already. That match was what it was. Next up, Nicole Savoy versus Reina Gonzalez. And a predictable one, this one. And you understand when you're watching it, especially the way that they build up one of the talent. And then lastly, we get the other match that really stands out from this round of 32 talents. And they've got Kairi Sane versus Tessa Blanchard. Obviously, Dr. Tully Blanchard. Sane's got quite a reputation. She's very unique. Kata was saying he thinks she's a bit Asuka 2.0. But I think she's a bit more unique than that, a bit different. She has her own style of uniqueness, so I think it works. And, a very good match. Again, try to watch that. Don't spoil this for you. But it was very, very well worth a watch if you haven't seen any of these. If you watch no other matches, watch Piper Niven versus Santara Garrett and Kai Sane versus Tessa Blanchard. So that kind of sums that up, Kai.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, when you're going to get into those, you're going to have them watched for next week?
Hopefully so. if everything, you know, at this rate, with being unemployed, I should probably, you know.
Yeah, just don't lucha underground it.
Yeah.
We know what you did. Yeah, I showed all that interest, pretended you were going to watch it, watched about an episode and then fell off.
No, I do love the women's tournament, so I will be checking it out, definitely. It's finding the time.
I did like the fact that GR did get a mention in for World of Sport.
Yeah, and I think I just want to point out, I did love the fact that JR and Lita were doing it, and apparently they've had to redo a lot of their commentary. and they got a second time round. But you know what? Like they said, if you get the opportunity to do that, take it, because it can only make things better.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Lita's work on the booth, but she can grow into the part, give her time, I suppose. It's not something she's done a lot of. But, you know, JR is there to bolster her, to help guide her, and hopefully that can take effect over the next few episodes when they hit. But that'll be that. But, yeah, very, some very good matches, well worth watching, but those two in particular, get watching on the WWE Network. And Kai, we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about a certain segment of Raw this week. If anyone hasn't seen it, Cena and Reigns went for a little bit of a promo battle. And yeah, very pulling back of the curtains. Cena himself referenced the fourth wall. That tells you a lot about the kind of promos it was. I suppose the angle on it was they were trying to be real, and how much of that was scripted or not, I don't know. But certainly there was a point where it seemed a little close to the bone. How would you describe it, Kai?
I don't know how to describe it. It was unique. And I think the word that I would use is mauling.
There was some dissecting going on.
Now, I just want to point out before anyone, before I say anything, I am 100% of the belief that this was not a shoot promo. This was 100% scripted beforehand, and at least all the topics were signed off with. And I really do not believe that any of this is down to. I don't believe that any of this is a shoot that just got out of hand, like a lot of people are saying. I think that both guys involved knew exactly what they wanted to leave it with, and I think that they did it really well.
Except for that portion when Reigns seemed to lose his script.
Yes, and the fact that Cena just jumped on it and didn't give him chance to... It was the most amazing piece of television I've watched in a long time.
From a performance perspective, and you'll know about this yourself, if you're on stage and there's a gap, you fill it. You do what you can to give the person a chance to get themselves back on the ladder, sort themselves out, but you just fill the gap until that is done. I think Cena was trying to do a bit of that.
Yeah, and It was interesting. I watched this at about midnight last night, about midnight to 1 a.m. I was just sat there, kind of, you know, sleepy, and it just sort of woke me up. And I was there like, what is this? Am I dreaming this? This is the Cena that I want. I don't want to ever see a John Cena heel turn. Mm-hmm. I don't. There's a reason why. For many reasons. One, I think that a video that I shared on Facebook a few days ago really sums it up, where Cena was seen, and there was all these people saying about how much John Cena, the character, and them had changed, and the person had inspired them and changed their life. And the character obviously means a lot to a lot of people, that turning that away can be quite damaging to a lot of people's real lives. And I don't think that is worth it just so a few of us can have a little bit of a laugh and enjoy the fact of this interesting character. Here's the thing, though. This is the Cena that I want to see, where, yeah, he still believes in all those things, but he's got that little bit of an attitude back, a little bit like when he was doing all the rapping gimmick. You know, we loved him, but he had no problem in telling someone that they... jumping on someone's insecurities and jumping on someone for not being as good as he is, being confident in himself.
Yeah.
And that's what I've loved about this. And it's sort of the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
Now, it's the second time that Cena's used the expression heel turn in a promo. I think you'll remember the first time when he actually literally put his heel to the mat and gave it a wee twist. Should he be using the words heel turn in a promo?
Yeah. Because it's a throw to us, because we understand what it means, and the casual fan, and that obviously makes us very excited because we know stuff, the casual fan don't know what it means, and that's the Easter egg.
But the fact that they went so much behind the curtain, so much telling it like it is, so to speak. Does that confuse the casual? You know, the what about the 10-year-old little Jimmy who's sitting in the audience? Does that whole promo, a whole sequence, go over his head and it's just a wasted segment to the children?
Yes, it does. But this isn't every week. If this was happening every week, I would agree with that. Once is not going to matter. Plus, when you think back to when you were a kid, and like I remember, so there's some segments that completely went over my head as a kid. It's like when you go watch, like you've got kids, do they watch things like SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yes. Well, I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, but you watch those kind of shows, and as an adult, you watch them. And there are so, especially the movie, there are so many adult jokes in there and innuendo and references that kids don't understand, but they get the basic story.
Well, you know yourself, that's a prerequisite for pantomime.
And that, yeah, and that is thrown in for the adults watching, whereas the kids still see the original story that's there.
With Cedar, but this isn't just a little line here, a little line there. This was a whole segment dedicated to it.
But it's one segment, and a kid might not fully understand, but they will go, the kid will remember this. By next week, the kid is going to remember that Cena and Reigns got into an argument and the table was flipped. They got in each other's faces. That's what the kid will remember.
So now my next question is a promo like that, a promo session like that, appropriate for a build to No Mercy, or should that be reserved for an event like WrestleMania, where we are going to get a lot more of the hardened fans watching, those who are a bit more aware of what goes on behind the scenes and the kind of inner workings of things to a certain extent?
Well, should this match have been saved for a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam or anything? Probably. But
some would say there's two matches on that card already that we were pretty much assuming were going to be WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, it's building it up to be a great pay-per-view, but does it matter anymore? Does this
the question.
Matter? We're living in a completely different world to where we were 5 years ago, where it actually mattered. And also, here's the other thing, because not only is it the network, but the whole aura of WWE events. WWE events sell themselves now. WrestleMania will be a close sellout, whether you've got John Cena versus Reigns in the main event or Hornswoggle versus the Gobbledygooker. People will buy tickets on the basis that it is WrestleMania.
And I'll only go for Swoggle versus the Gobbledygooker if the Boogeyman's the special referee.
But that's the thing, is that they no longer have to sell an event on a major star. It used to be that John Cena had to be on every show for it to sell. And nowadays, live events are sold on the basis of it's WWE Live, and you're selling it on the basis that it's the brand of WWE, not this wrestler's coming to town. Which is the old thing, and it's an interesting situation.
Right. Okay. I get you. I see where you're coming from.
I know that went off on a tangent, but yes.
Now this takes me back to when Mike Musso was on the show from W3L, and he used a three-letter expression a few times regards to what he had going on at the time, and it does kind of fit right into this conversation, and that is the words exposing the business. Is this exposing the business? Is this taking it too far? Is it damaging? Is this going to get the wrath of independent talent worldwide? Is this, you know, the right thing to do for WWE, or should they have not done it at all?
That's a difficult one. But I am going to stand by the same. And now I'm not in the business, so that makes my opinion probably different to a Mike Musso or, you know, someone like that. I'm of the sort of belief that the business is exposed already. We know that this is an entertainment industry and the curtain has already been pulled back. So as much as we try to fight it, we're living in a completely different world than we were 20 years ago. So I really don't think it matters. Plus, people have such short-term memory that we will remember this till the day we die because we enjoyed this segment. But the kids aren't going to remember, and they're not going to remember what happens from, you know, people don't remember what happens from week to week. So by the end of the year, there will be a top 10 list on some YouTube channel somewhere of the best moments in WWE this year. This will be mentioned and we'll go, oh, fuck, yeah, I forgot about that.
So the one last question I've got on this is, where do we go from here? What happens next?
Oh, they go on and have a fantastic 5-star match at No Mercy. and I think that's going to be the case. I think this, I think it's going to be the show stealer. The fact that it's probably not going to be the main event is a very, well, it won't be the main event, is a, yeah, it's an incredible prospect of how, and perspective of how built this match, this card is. But where do you think it's going to go? And what's your thoughts? You've sort of asked me, but you've not given your own thought.
I was kind of holding off on that, but this is as good a time as any. I do think they've gone a bit too far with it. I think the more you do this, the more you have to kind of raise the gamut even further if you ever want to do it again. You can't do this and then just tuck it under the carpet because it's already out there. So we've got a build now between now and the 24th of September, this a very long period, where they can only go up, they can't go down, because if they go down, it's going to flounder. So they've kind of boxed themselves in by doing this now at this stage in the game with a month to go, or just under a month. So I'm a bit concerned about that build and if it can build or if it's just going to lose momentum between now and then. That's my big issue with it.
I think it's going to be a case of this is the storytelling aspect of it, that they've caught all our attention and gone, right, this is going to be one of the best feuds in many years. And actually going to us, no, you need, even though this felt, because it felt a little bit rushed at first, you know, mm-hmm. Cena just turning up and going, right, I'm fighting Reigns now. But this has made us go, right, these guys have a genuine thing now. This is, right. But this is the thing, because they're both these polarizing characters, I don't think they're going to be getting into brawls backstage and fighting every week and getting an upper hand on each other. I don't think they're going to touch until the pay-per-view. Not in any sort of aspect where, because how did it end? They went into a tag team match, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then there was nothing after that.
No, I mean, obviously there was a little bit of Cena upstage and Reigns in the match, and that was the way they kind of played it out towards the finish.
But I think that this has firmly planted the seeds. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to see them one-upping each other in certain ways, but not, and getting in each other's faces, and it's going to build slowly from now. And then I think the go-home show, they will go back to this kayfabe sort of kayfabeless sort of atmosphere. And I think that's where we will see it hit us again. So there's this early strike, then it's going to build slowly, and then there'll be one final strike right before the pay-per-view, and then at the pay-per-view, it's down to them and the ring.
And don't get me wrong, I do understand why they've done this the way they've done it, because they know that the people who were going to shit all over this match were the fans like ourselves, and they wanted to get our attention, they wanted to get us invested in this match, so they thought the only way to do that would be to literally target what we were interested in seeing. However, I do
solid Cena chant
that.
Well, a solid Cena chant at a Raw, now that is just unbelievable. But and some of the, I tell you what, some of the lines, even the, I'm confident that these two can have a feud now without bringing up all this kayfabe kind of behind this, anti-kayfabe behind the scenes stuff, because of the brutalness of some of the lines, where it's like, I'm better at doing this part-time than you are full-time. You know, that's not really breaking kayfabe. That's just, it could mean anything. And I think there's just a brutalness behind it that they need to stick with. and we don't want to go back next week to the happy-go-lucky John Cena, I like the fact that he's gone, you know what, I'm really pissed off about this. And kind of owning the fact that he's part-time, which is the first time ever, because he came back last year and he was like, this is everything to me. And I especially liked the, just whilst I'm remembering stuff in my head, I especially liked the line about the reason why I'm having to keep coming back is because you're not good at this. I think you can't place me. That is a, it made me sit there and go, you know what, I'm really interested in this story. And that's the most important thing to me.
Okay, fair enough. I think we'll have to wait and see what we get over the next few weeks, because it certainly is going to be an interesting one to watch how they play it out, how that build kind of makes its way from here to the 24th of September. Between now and then, we've got things like the Mae Young Classic Finals to keep us intrigued as well. So, you know, plenty to watch over the next few weeks. But I think we need to move on with this show.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba 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 ba.
He's cool, he's cocky, he's bad indeed. So, Kai, I'm going to go into a kind of final thoughts portion of the show. Anything you want to bring up?
Oh, I wish I had thought. You go first and I'll think of something.
I'm actually just going to be very brief with mine. Two things that I had lined up for this week that are not going to happen. First of all, we had Alan Smith from Discovery planned to come on this morning, but he had to be called away with work, unfortunately. Nature of the beast. And I was hoping to be meeting PK on Thursday night, but that's now not happening either.
No! Why?
Yeah. Oh, just he's got other things come up that he has to deal with, so we're just going to have to put it back to next year as a plan. It's life happens. You move on. PK, we'll get it. We'll make it happen one day. But, you know, it's fine. I'll look at when I can arrange to do something with Alan between now and the 16th of September when his next event is, and see what we can do, make our diaries match up. But that's all I wanted to chat about this week. Have you thought of anything, or are you happy just to go?
I have. Well, I've got two little things. The first one is a story that I'm pretty sure you must have heard about because it's been all over the news. The sexy star Rosemary.
Yes.
Still. Ooh. This is a let's get into this one.
So for anyone who doesn't know, after the end of a match involving Sexy Star and Rosemary, Sexy Star was finishing a submission move, and however she didn't let off in that, and in fact added more torque to the arm and literally genuinely injured poor old Rosemary, which obviously has caused a bit of a stir. Folks taking basically going into business for themselves. And the whole reason for it was that Sexy Star was making a point to another talent altogether.
Because there'd been an incident earlier in the match where she basically shoot-injured someone else as well.
Yeah. And that's who she was really making a point to, I believe. And I've got that right in my head.
Now, it's all got out of hand, has the has all the comments, and Sexy Star has been pulled from a lot of events because of it. And there's... Now, we're not in the industry, but there are a lot of people in the industry saying, no, you've got to take care of each other. I think that's the main highlight I've been getting from it, is that no matter, and Sexy Rosemary put a comment out this morning on Twitter saying that she wants to end all the chat about it now. Her injury isn't as bad as she thought, but she said, can we all take one thing from this entire messy situation, that no matter what is going on in our personal lives, we need to take care of each other out there, and I'm not just talking about in the ring. And if you screw up, and we all do, own up to it. Let's stop making excuses and take accountability for our actions.
Yeah, but Senna has got a reaction from a lot of talent worldwide. Mick Foley's such all commenting on the situation. How much did Sexy Star realise of a reaction she was going to get? I mean, has she really done herself as much long-term damage as some folk are suggesting?
Yeah, I think she will be blacklisted for quite a while. I think it's that kind of industry where you fuck up, you've got to pay the price. And I think that she would be lucky to... It's going to affect her income for a while, because there's going to be a lot of places that won't want to touch her. Doesn't mean that you can't get back, but like, this is the thing with wrestling, is if you make a mistake, like through the law or through drugs or alcohol abuse, you can be, you know, even like I said, break the law, you can be brought back in eventually, and you can be, you know, accepted again by the fans and the people in the locker room for changing. I think if something happens in the ring and you're not taking care of another wrestler, though, it can backfire for a lot longer. I think it's okay. That whole protecting the industry thing again as well.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. I mean, just a very quick skim page saying, similar to my girl, we are Rosemary, the whole wrestling world is behind you, no room for bullies in this business. Mike Kanellis, for the record, at We Are Rosemary, is one of my favourite people in wrestling. Heel up, homie. You know, there's a whole lot of it. If you just one quick search for even just Rosemary's tag on Twitter, and you'll see tons of tweets about the whole thing. Hopefully, we get a proper apology out of Sexy Star, and we can kind of put an end to the whole story, and it doesn't happen again anytime soon. Yes.
My other thing is that I have an interview coming up on Saturday for the European Uppercut podcast. That's going to be taking place with Fight Factory Wrestling's self-proclaimed small weight champion, none other than Brett Magic Myers. He's been getting a lot of traction over the last few months, and go check him out. It's going to be a great interview. He's got a lot of stories to tell, and there's a lot of people very high on him at the minute, and it's going to be fun to see where that goes over the next few months. You know, he's been getting bookings in other companies around the UK, and he's not been doing it for very long, under 2 years, I believe.
That was the story I thought you would hit on. A heavy bit plug for your interview upcoming. I do love the idea of a small champion. Yeah, you plug things. And I'll let you be our small weight champion.
I'm the European, the EU small weight champion.
You've just been crowned. But that's all we're going to hit on this. We're going to start winding up this show and start making our way to the end. And don't forget, you can contact the show on Twitter at the EU Pod. You can email us eurouppercut@gmail.com. Or allegedly, there's a Facebook page, European Uppercut Podcast. Allegedly. And don't forget to check out the website for the Trending Topics Network, trendingtopicsnetwork.com. And you can always check out the other shows right here on the Trending Topics Network: TTN the Movies, CFL Easy Picks, STFU, What's on Fight, Spanish News Table, The New Spin at the NYC, Tuts Experience, Lou Chat, Wrestling Cheers, Legends with Catelyn Valentine, Hanging with Heavy, Eurovision Showcase, I'm losing my breath here, All Be Inside, and plenty more where that came from.
10-1.
Join us. Shut up. Join us for episode 146. Hopefully that'll be next week. But who really knows? But that's all for this week. For Kai, the living legend has now left the building.